Session number 22659, Rule 11.
This is the sixth reel of a taped interview with George Wright in his home in Perth, Western Australia, on the 7th of the 12th, 2001, for the Imperial War Museum in London, and the interviewer is John Bannister. George, we've been talking about Shaggy Ridge, and it was on the 27th of December 1943 that the 2nd 16th were to assault the actual positions. Can you give us your understanding of what actually went on? Given that you were down below at the base.
Now, preparatory bombardment was aided by the an American Air Force detachment which directed some bombs at the enemy position on the ridge, and
What were your main duties at that point, and given the action was high above you? What was the level of bombing that you saw, for instance?
The bombing was on the enemy positions up at the crest of the ridge. And
how long was it to go for?
It was only for a short period. What I can remember, it might have only been for 15 minutes. And I didn't check the number of planes because, well, it wasn't possible to check that. But it wasn't continuous, you might say, because our troops were fairly close to it and difficult to see.
As I understand, there were three main positions that had to be taken. There was the Pimple, the Intermediate Pimple, and the Green Pimple. Why were they given? Why was the Pimple called the Green Pimple?
The vegetation had not been, or there was more vegetation, much more than there was on the other two. That's the only reason. I think there'd probably be more activity prior to this attack on there, and as a result of it, that they're doing earthworks and that for their protection, not for the enemy. Just a lot of the stuff was taken out.
How strong were the positions held by the Japanese? Were you aware of that? How many Japanese would there have been there, do you think?
No, I just imagine at the most, in the vicinity, and not on the ridge, but in the vicinity up there and to the back, in the rear side of the ridge from us, there could have been up to a company. We never actually saw the total number, you know, there. Hiding and moving around and things like that. And the other problem was the visibility. If you poked your head up, you bloody well got a shot at it.
Uh, once the 2nd 16th had started up the ridge, how long did the actual action take?
Oh, God. until late in the afternoon. It was to move round, it was rather difficult, you know, up there with the slopes and the ground, and the fact that you had to be very careful with it. You could, one from the ground itself and the other one from the enemy. You couldn't just wander around on it. As a matter of fact, it surprised us that the medical officer, you've seen that, haven't you, and the parson were up that close that they acted a stretcher boat. But I'll say the parson, Padre, were that close and able to give support so early.
Tell us about Padre.
The lads called him Sly Bacon.
Why?
His name was Cunningham. He was an RC. I don't know whether he came from Bunbury originally, but he finished up at Bunbury in recent years and retired down there and died there. Yeah. Old Sly Bacon. Just by the way, he did some very good work. He couldn't, perhaps we shouldn't put this in, he couldn't use firearms and things like that, but when it came to other things, physical and particularly swimming, he taught a lot of lads to swim and things like that, which was very useful in some of the places of the rivers. Yeah.
What sort of religious instruction and help did he give to the blokes, do you think?
Well, yeah. As far as his duties as a padre goes, he was very good. And it didn't really matter, what I can say of it, that his own religion, anyone got his service. Old Pad. Yeah. Of course, he was an old West Australian. That was a big point.
As I understand, the Japanese were to fight fanatically.
Yeah.
How fanatically?
Well, just fanatically, you know.
They weren't prepared to give in easily.
No, they're just likely to lose their heads, you know, or their minds, I think. But,
how did this make them a difficult foe to be in action against? The fact that they wouldn't give up?
Oh, well. We didn't get any prisoners there, that I know of, but They just were knocked over by our own troops, either with the bayonet or the or bullet.
It was hand-to-hand combat, as I understand.
Yes, but not a great deal. But it was, if it was on, it was dinkum. And they were prepared to do everything.
As I understand, the situation sort of grew into a sort of war of attrition until early January, and that was when you were relieved by the 2nd 9th Battalion. Do you recall that?
Yes, they're having a go all the time. But when we handed over the 2nd 9th, we didn't go straight back to Moresby. We went down into the valley a bit and up a bit. I just can't think of the exact location now, but we were there for a couple of weeks before we went back to Moresby.
What were you doing there?
Well, patrolling the area and security, but there were no contact.
Shaggy Ridge was taken on the 23rd of January, as I understand. It was taken by the Australians.
Yes, that must
have been. Where were you at this point?
That must have been the 9th. They moved, to my knowledge, they moved along the ridge, and they would still be chasing them. We didn't really get into any serious contact with them. Between you and I think one of the reasons that we were there was to give the lads a chance to recover themselves a bit.
What sort of situation were they in at this point?
Well, we'd been going since I can't think of the time now. We'd been going for quite a while, and the conditions weren't the best, although they were better than the track. And we were there down below the ridge on a reasonable piece of land and around there. And able to recover a bit.
Tell us then what it was like to come back to Port Moresby eventually.
Well, when we were withdrawn, we'd been there, if I remember correctly, about a fortnight, I think it was. We moved back to Moresby, and of course we're given the news, not as an official announcement, that we were returning to Australia on leave, and which we did.
How did that make you feel?
Well, it's same old story again.
To what degree were you getting a bit tired of it all? To what degree were you getting a bit tired of the whole situation?
Was there any getting tired of it?
Being sent backwards and forwards from one place to the next.
Yes, well, coming back to Australia and going back again, it was a bit, I thought, unusual. Of course, we knew the stories about fellas in the Middle East and also in the 1914-18, where they were there for a long time. But it was reasonable when you come to think of it, by the conditions we were under, you know, the climate and supplies and things like that, and contacts. We couldn't just sit down their bums and rest. Oh no. Yeah.
So you were back in Australia in 1944, from around about January. What was the situation in relation to the home set up? What was going on at home? How were things operating at home in 1944, early 44?
Well, things weren't well, as far as I knew. Things weren't so terrible. Sort of never affected me. We're just, well, filling in the time and the doing the job. There's a job that was being done and had to be done if we wanted to survive. You just couldn't sit down and do nothing. And
well, what was life like in 1944, when you came back? How were the people at home doing? How were they coping with the war?
Well, they were very keen to know what was going on, and to give us support. But what I could make of it, the people weren't.
Things were looking pretty good in Europe.
Yeah, well, they were beginning to look all right here, I think. But, of course, not being here long, and you're limited in being able to move around, you didn't. Get to know much, I think, and also you just sort of, the job's got to be done, and you, didn't care, but you just had to take it, and there it was a job to be finished.
Did you know where you were to be sent?
Where we'd be?
While you were at home, did they tell you where you were to be sent?
No. Oh no, it was before we before we came home, we were told, or I think if I remember rightly, that we'd probably be going to the Philippines with the Americans, with the Yanks. Which, incidentally, didn't come about.
Did you want to go to the Philippines with the Americans?
Well, personally, I was a bit suspicious.
Why were you suspicious?
Well, to my knowledge, they seemed to rely too much on the Australian, on the personnel. See, the thing to remember was the AIF were volunteers, and to my knowledge, the biggest part of the American army was not. To my knowledge, they were called up. Mind you, there was a certain percentage of Australians called up, but their area of action was restricted.
The impression I get is that the Australians were sort of seemed to be playing a secondary role to the Americans. Did you feel this at this point?
Yes, simple reason. The numbers, the strengths. Had such a lot. The Yanks had such a large number compared with us, and there it was, and equipment. That was certainly apparent.
How are they making their presence felt in 1944, and then as you were to head off to Borneo in places like Australia?
Well, to my knowledge, what I remember, we were just told, well, the Yanks are off and not requiring us. But I have a feeling that there was, by our hire, commands, there was some objection of the possible behaviour of the Yanks towards our troops and their use, which wasn't, of course, circulated, but what was heard.
So when was it you were sent off to Borneo?
When was it? The exact date was June
45.
June 45. Yeah.
At this time,
Yeah.
VE Day. Mm. Where were you when VE Day took place?
VE Day.
Victory in Europe.
Yeah, well, that was in August, wasn't it?
May. Victory in Europe.
Oh, Christ. We were somewhere around.
Do you remember the celebrations of VE Day at all? Associated with VE Day?
No, I don't. I don't think we would have had anything to celebrate with.
So at this point you were on the islands. You weren't in Australia.
No, I don't think so. God, I'd have to go through there and see if there's any date.
What do you recall of your experience of the Borneo campaign? From June of 1945 through to the end. What were your main duties?
The duties included improving the area to make it healthier, which we had quite a bit of moisture around the place, because there had been action on it before, and shell holes and things, and they had water in them, and they had to be drained. And then I was also sent out to check on a couple of areas. One was up the coast a bit, and to see what was going on, and on arrival there, I found that some padres had beaten me to it. Strange to say, they were Church of Christ people. Now wandering around on their own, I don't know how the heck they got there. And that was that one. And and then also we received some fellows who had been released from Singapore, some West Australians, who were, few of them, were loaded, and they were sent down and welcomed by us.
What sort of condition were they in?
reasonable.
Did they tell of their experience?
Healthily, they seemed fairly well.
What sort of stories did they tell of their experience in Singapore?
As far as the stories of Singapore goes, well, we didn't worry much. We were talking about home and things like that. And it must have been about a week before they came down, I think. I think it was an action to sort of relieved the fellows to give them the impression that they were, well, being looked after and going to be taken home as soon as possible. They came down to us for a few days and then went from there off again.
What was your experience of contact with the enemy in Borneo?
Mike, I had very little contact with them. I took over an area that had been occupied and cleaned out, and enemy. There was the odd one, I believe.
What sort of condition were they in?
That had been. Well, they appeared all right. Their conditions around Borneo appeared all right. Mind you, we went to. What the hell was the place? It was on the east coast. There was another brigade, they went down the bottom. 25 Brigade, I think it was. Now,
Have they been doing it tough, do you think, in their situation there?
Well, I think they must have, because we lost a few fellows killed there before I arrived. Listed them in there. There was a couple of officers I knew. They went off.
So they were still fighting hard?
Yes, they were prepared to. Matter of fact, now I come to think of it, our chaps, one detachment on them had to clean out a patch of them on the coast a bit further up from where we were, and they were sent up. The Yanks supplied a power boat or an assault barge to support them, and they cleaned them up, and I think they took a few prisoners.
People talk of the Borneo campaign as one that wasn't really necessary. Is that something that you felt at the time?
No, because we didn't see beyond where we were. What all we heard was something had come through. Whether it was official or not, and always doubtful. You didn't really trust them unless someone gave us an order that was definite. See? That's all you could obey.